Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Just two of us in the show today, Mike and I.
But when you got Mike Constantino on the other microphone, that's all you need,
right,
young man.
Right.
You
got, I think my last name is Williamson.
You got more.
But having watched the Mueller report, I'm not so sure anymore what my last
name. Well, you had this 75-year-old guy that was sick. Addressing one of the most important issues of the day. But what we're going to do today, folks, is we're going to try to do a step back here. We're going to try to assess the political situation, including the Mueller testimony, Mueller report, Mueller testimony in this show, recognizing that there are so many voices out there screaming at you. So many voices out there screaming at us, and one of the most difficult things that any political media, including Democratic Perspective, has to do is you want to, and I think we do a good job of it, quite frankly. Steve Williamson and I do a good job of this, and that is trying to cut through the chaos a little bit anyway, and that's one of the reasons we do so many interviews. But the idea that calling Republicans, which you have heard, calling them a criminal organization, isn't helpful. But I can't help.
Can't help yourself.
The whole idea of calling someone stupid because they don't believe in climate change isn't helpful. I've never run a focus group, but if I did, I'm going to guess that with so many not being able to tell a narrative, the Democrats want to tell this narrative.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think we should talk about, Mike, is the Democratic campaign to extent to date and where it's going and what the issues are and how that affects things like the Mueller report. The thing I get from the report originally, and I didn't really expect much from these hearings. I didn't listen to them. I read them.
Right.
Actually, I didn't expect much to be generated because of the format that the House uses of going back and forth between Republicans and Democrats with these tiny little limited amounts of time. And Mueller has not been forthcoming in the past beyond his report, and he stayed just apparently exactly with his report. I read a little bit of a column by Jennifer Rubin who said, stop beating up on the guy, but it was not, it was not effective television, particularly, and even if you looked at only the excerpts, it didn't look good.
Well, yeah, again, from the New York Times, certainly they said that Robert Mueller denied both sides what they were looking for. The Democrats wanted him, their repeated requests to get him to read from the report. They knew if they could only get him, all he had to do was read from his own report, and in his own voice, it would be damaging enough to see the obstruction of justice. The Republicans, and he denied them too, they wanted to discredit everything he did. And he said, and so I'm going to quote here, he talked about that the integrity of his report. And he said that one of the Republicans said that since you weren't able to find any crimes, you went after Trump politically. And
more dishonest statement I can.
Mueller jumped on that.
I don't even think that some of the Republican questioning, I don't think they understand. Effective or not, and for what all his flaws, this is an honest man producing an honest report. I don't think they understand that a lot of times, if I'm on a jury and I don't like you, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is whether you're guilty or not guilty. And in other words, you can still, whatever your own personal politics, Mike, you can still do your job, right?
But yes,
you can present both sides of things fairly if that's what your job is to do. We're a sense of partisan show, so we don't spend a lot of time presenting a Republican side that is so well or horribly badly presented by the Republicans themselves.
Again, from the New York Times, he didn't say Trump was innocent, but we said we did not reach a determination as to whether the president committed a crime. On the other hand, he said it's not a witch hunt, he declared flatly. He betrayed stronger hints of emotion when Representative Tom McClintock, Republic of California, said, having desperately tried and failed to make a legal case against the president, you made a political case instead. Mueller said, I don't think you have reviewed a report that is as thorough and as fair and as consistent as the report in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, we read a huge, I didn't read the whole report, but I certainly read the whole first half of it on the Russian collusion issue. And what it says is really not that Trump didn't collude with the Russians, because there, I don't know, I'm sorry we don't have Gary with us, because he could tell you the exact number of meetings that the Trump administration officials had with the Russians. And we could look at Trump's behavior in office since, and you get a very clear picture of collusion. Now, collusion is not a crime. The only crime is a conspiracy. And what the report said was that they didn't have enough evidence to charge him and successfully prosecute it. In other words, you might have enough to charge somebody with something, but you don't do it unless you feel that your prosecution could be successful in a court of law.
But what he did say was that the Trump campaign happily and willingly and sought Russian interference, and that he's afraid that it's going to become the new normal. We're going to have foreign, and they are doing it at this very moment, he said in his testimony. At the moment we are speaking, that because of the Trump campaign's encouragement during the 2016 election, that the Russians are interfering with the 2020 election as he was speaking. Now, why that doesn't, that, see, what I don't get, and then what gets me angry,
well,
and wants
want
me to make call Republicans'
Mike.
Names, is that that's not banner headlines across the nation,
but
that foreign governments are interfering with our election at this moment. Nobody cares.
I think the administration has very quietly blocked most of the sort of most effective remedies for blocking the Russians from interfering in the election.
Right.
They did that because it was in their interest the first election, and it'll be in their interest the second election. So we have the question of the report itself. And the one headline I liked and really agreed with is that it said essentially Democrats have nothing to do except hold the election. Win this next election, because the Mueller report is not going to save him. It's not going to be a Deus ex machina. The machine is not going to drop down and solve this problem for us. As close as he comes to an indictment of Trump, he doesn't indict Trump. And the chances now of impeachment are much smaller. We're going to be going to an election. I know you wanted to impeach him before he got into office even. And, you know, I can't say you were wrong about the guy. But I think that's the key.
What does it
we're
say?
Really going to have to defeat him, Mike. There's no other way.
Yeah, are you dating Nancy Pelosi? I mean, what's going on here? I know that's Pelosi's position and certainly the conservative Democrats' position. On the other hand, some of us see it as a slap in the face of the American public to have this man committing daily crimes, to have evidence of obstruction of justice at 10 points in the Mueller report and every day, and not start impeachment.
Okay. Now, so there's two questions here. There is whether Donald Trump should be impeached in the abstract sense, and whether any impeachment process will yield a positive result, either his actual removal from office, discrediting him, or even casting a shadow on his reelection.
So what are you and Nancy afraid of?
We're not afraid of anything. I don't I don't think the majority of American people are anywhere close to impeachment based on what we've seen for something like this report. They're just not there. And the problem with a report, folks, is if you read it and you analyze it, Mike, you analyze it and you look at the implications, it says one thing. But when you're relying on implications and analysis, you leave the 40% of the people who support Donald Trump no matter what behind.
But that's what impeachment does. It gets to the evidence behind Trump's and the justice and his Justice Department. This has never happened before, where he owns the trust, the administration owns the Justice Department rather than being a unbiased body. So when he denies access to the evidence behind the report, then you're right. Then it becomes a much, much less effective body of evidence. So what impeachment does, it gets to the evidence behind the report.
Trump has done impeachable things from day one. I just don't think we can impeach him. Look at Attorney General Carr.
Trump has done impeachable things from day one. I don't think we can impeach him.
Remember, the impeachment is to call to trial. It's not removal of the presidency. In other words, there's enough evidence to call to trial. I think Nancy Pelosi is right. I think it's counterproductive. I'm thinking about, look at Attorney General Barr,
yeah.
Mike.
Okay.
The man obviously lied.
Yeah.
Anybody who looks at his testimony and then looks at the report knows that he lied about the contents of the report.
Right.
Now, a whole lot of 40% of the people don't want to see that no matter what. But it's very clear that he lied about the report. It's very clear that he should be subpoenaed. I don't think it's not that I'm objecting to that. I think we're going to have to make the case to the American people for replacing Trump with someone better. I think the whole Mueller report did not provide enough incontrovertible, unarguable stuff. In other words, there's not, a blue dress in this whole thing.
Let me get you to do what Mueller wouldn't do for the Democrats. Read that headline, Time Magazine.
My whole life is a bet.
And who's that from?
Donald Trump.
What's he betting on?
He's betting that he can finagle, bamboozle his way. His whole career has been lying. It's been smoke and mirrors. He's never done anything else. He's always lied about everything. He lies constantly, and it's worked for him. And the danger to the American people and the American government is it is working for him with a significant portion of the population. But he's a bamboozler, a liar, and a fraud from day one. But he got elected, Mike, and we have to face the fact that he got elected and deal with that. Maybe something should have been done. He never should have gotten in power, and we wouldn't be going through this.
Well,
But he did get elected. He didn't get the majority of the vote. And what is he,
with
lost by 5 million votes or something?
With the help of a foreign government.
And now they're saying that because the way the Electoral College is skewered, that he could lose by even 10, 15 million votes and still become president.
And so we can sit here and say that America is broken. The USA is broken. When you sit here and tell me that a guy who a foreign government helped get elected is a corrupt criminal in every way.
Look, Mike, let's be honest.
And we can't do anything about it.
It says, no, we're doing something about it.
We're going to
an election, and we're not going to re-elect
him. Well, we're holding an election 18 months from now.
Right, we're not going to re-elect him. But,
so next time you come to rob my house, I'm going to say, yeah, help yourself, and I'll get back to you in 18 months.
Look, we're talking about technical issue of impeachment. If there's an argument both ways on that. Clearly, it's not going to work. It's not going to remove Donald Trump. Nothing we do is going to undercut and make unnecessary an election which he loses.
All right,
he's going to run, Mike, and his supporters. And what's, look, that Trump was elected president of the United States says something, you know, not so good about the American people, as well as not so good about Donald Trump.
Let's be political pundits. How can we get him to resign? How can we get him to resign? Okay, let's go. Impeachment is going to do him more good than harm, is what the Democratic position is, correct?
I don't think that the Democratic position. Some Democrats think and worry that it's... You saw how this hearing played out. Remember that you don't get to present just one side of the evidence. You're going to have a ferocious response by the Republicans.
Witch hunt. That's all you're going to hear. Witch hunt.
Well, and they're going to try to flesh it out as much as they can. You're going to have a ferocious fight that's going to make it not going to make it any clearer. We're going to have to go into this election with a good portion of the American people still supporting the man. Now, we can try to understand why they still support him, despite all the evidence that he's a liar and a fraud. And I don't know if you call him a rapist, but he's certainly a molester of women. All of that is clear. And people are still supporting him. And we have to face that. That's what we have to face. That we may have spotted him, and you may have spotted him out there, folks. But he's going to be president until we unelect him.
So let me ask this. We're doing a radio show here. We have an audience. And I'm really enjoying doing our local shows, which has really built our audience. I want to remind people that there is a donation button on the Verde Valley Democrats webpage. But I want to also ask, what do you want? What do we want? What do you want? Obviously, you're telling me 40% of the people want a racist, corrupt.
No, I'm not saying
molester.
That. I'm saying he is what he is. And he's managed to get himself elected. He still has the support of people. Why people support him is a lot of different reasons. Some people really don't know what the hell's going on. And there are Democrats who don't really know. You know, they barely know who our candidates are. I mean, there are people who just don't follow politics. There are people who don't want to be involved in politics, who think you can avoid it. There's a whole lot of different factors. I'm not saying that they're supporting him because he is a fraud. I'm saying they're supporting him, and he is a fraud.
Well, I want to ask, that's the, when this show is
old philosopher's distinction.
It's just what do people want? Do you want education? Do you want health care? Do you want jobs? Do you want roads? Do you want public transportation? Do you want climate science to be believed? On the way here, literally almost, I was... Just before I came, there were three Republican senators talking to people, three, by the way, about climate science. Now, the latest things I'm reading, we got 18 months. Forget about 2050. Forget about this. You got 18 months before we're talking fatal climate change that you can't.
I think there's going to be a lot of disagreement when climate change begins to be fatal. Remember, there really is technological advancement. And all the things that we bet where we don't factor in the possibility of technological. That's not, I'm not saying
in the next 18 months,
it.
They're going to eat up
I
all the.
I don't think 18 months. I don't think we rely. I mean, we're talking here is what Paris almost hit 100 degrees or something, did it 100 and something degrees.
There's going to be deaths all over Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
As it continues to happen.
Europe's not set up with air conditioning like the U.S. is, certainly like Arizona is. Yeah. And so that's a problem. I think that all the things I agree with you, and I think that's what the election's going to be about.
Who are the?
Do you want to recognize that climate change is just a fact? It may be, as Al Gore said so long ago, an inconvenient fact. Nobody really, it's not really convenient, folks. It's going to help some people, some places in the world. It's going to hurt everybody else. But it's inconvenient. Are you going to recognize it's a fact and deal with it or not? And we have a guy in a political party, Mike, an entire political party who's denying climate change in a way that other conservative political parties in the world don't do. They're being funded, I think, by oil industry, extractive industries, and some weirdly the power of what we call of people we call fundamentalists is much larger here, and particularly in the anti-turn of science that evangelical Christianity has taken the last couple of decades.
A whole other topic. I want to correct myself. What I was referring to this morning were Senate Democrats doing a podcast on social media regarding climate change. And one of the things that they heard was, one of the questions they asked I thought was brilliant. They said, how do you crack your toughest nuts? The senator asked the people in front of him. Two were young, one was not, by the way. And she said, well, it depends on the age. She said, the senator said, well, how about college students? She said, we believe it. Most every college student, everybody in her age group, believes the climate science and believes that some sort of carbon system has to be and is already developed, but has to be bought into where you have. I'm struggling to explain.
Rather than say believe, I would say accept the climate science, Mike. Because the climate science is really pretty. The details of it, whether it's 18 months or 10 years, the details are not as clear as the overall process of climate warming.
And then she said, how do you convince your parents? And she laughed and said, well, that's a whole other story. But she said, what I come from there is from the economic side and not about economic collapse, but about economic opportunity, that the careers and the jobs that are going to be, and they talked about the difference between a career and a job, by the way, which I thought was brilliant, that the careers and the jobs that are coming out of saving the planet are going to be significant and an opportunity, not a doomsday scenario like Democrats always want to paint.
All right. I think one of the things, let me just change things. I agree with you more than you might realize, is what's crucial now, Mike? It seems to me the prime directive, is that the old Star Trek thing? The prime directive is defeat Donald Trump. Because if we don't defeat Donald Trump in this next election, all our other little victories, taking the Senate and the House, will be good, but they won't really do it. Another 4 years of Donald Trump in the White House. I am not one of these people who uses a lot of heavy rhetoric, but I don't know that the country will be able to recover in decades, if not hundreds of years, of more of this. Six more years, 18 months plus 4 years, almost 6 years of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really seriously worry. And so the question I have, and I think the Democrats have to sort out for themselves, is this a two-step process, meaning that you want to focus first on defeating Donald Trump and replacing him with someone? Look, I think you and I would both agree that the country's gotten long in the tooth. The veins of the country are clogged. It's too hard to do anything. We've lost our nimble ability to do things. We've lost our vision of building railroads and which was a government and private sector process, folks. Most people don't realize that. Interstate highways, so forth, and going to the moon. All these things, the country seems to have lost its way and gotten more and more involved in narrower and narrower argument. I don't know when climate change is important and I agree with you that it is, and you have so many people denying it, believing that there's some religious or economic reason to do so. I mean, it's going to be real trouble. So I would just say to folks that who realize what's happening, really the important thing is to get out there and get active and get talking to people. We have to try to make as much impact, and we have to try to unelect Donald Trump. Now, there's two ways to do this. One is what I call a two-step. One is we replace Donald Trump with anybody who can beat him. Joseph Biden, if you want to, you know, get rid of Trump, and then the next election we try to get the kind of more in-depth changes we needed. The other thing is to try to go for a twofer, to really elect someone who will change the country, like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. I mean, there's a choice on how to do this. I'm not sure I know what's right. I'm also not sure that a more radical person like Bernie or Elizabeth Warren has a worse chance than someone like Joseph Biden. That's not clear that that's true.
That's not. That's for sure. Because the unknown is, and the young people that will turn out, I've been reading the headline for 2.5 years about the people that didn't vote elected Trump. The people that didn't vote elected Trump.
Right.
The people that didn't vote are, at least we think, we don't, as you say, we don't know, but they're the Elizabeth Warren and the Bernie Sanders supporters. They bring a whole new audience to the political theater.
Yeah, the evidence kind of that I see might kind of all over the place. It's easy to see the Biden route to beating Trump. He's a sensible, he's a good man. He's sensible. He's got reasonable, moderate policies. It's easy to see how he offers a choice compared to Trump. It's easy to see how he, if any Democrat, has a capacity to win working class voters, win in Michigan and Pennsylvania and so forth. It's easy to see how Biden has the best shot. On the other hand, you're right. It's someone like Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, or there's several other very, very, there are many other good candidates, I guess you should say. They could bring victory too.
I think so, but you're right.
Pulling in voters, just like you're suggesting.
Exactly.
Now, so there's two strategies, folks. One is to win over enough votes in the right places to defeat Trump.
Yeah.
As he stands. And the other is to bring enough new voters or discouraged voters, first-time voters into the mix. And I'm not clear which is the best strategy. I think we have to watch this play out. I know what you think, or you can tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. We're political guys, and so if this was TV, I would point to my picture of me and Joe Biden on the wall shaking hands.
Yeah, you did that. I never did that.
So I'm doing that right now. I have to admit, my political eyes have been opened by my young friends and involvement in, as you know, I lead some political organizations in Cottonwood and other places. These young people, they're not kids. These are people in their 30s and 40s have opened my eyes. So as I look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and as I look at the squad, that they are more in line with my political beliefs. So it kind of depends on...
But there are 130 Democratic representatives plus... who don't necessarily agree with the squad about stuff.
What did Pelosi say about them? They have no following.
Well, I'm not saying they have no following. I think she's wrong about that. She means in Congress.
She means in Congress, yeah.
Right, and I think that's something that we have to come on a winning strategy. What I'm really saying, Mike, is not advocating the one way or the other. I'm trying to look at the logic. You can go with someone like Biden, or maybe there's somebody you don't even running yet, if there's anybody in the Democratic Party who's not running at this point.
Nobody's come to mind.
You can do that with somebody who's trying to win over the old Democratic base and cut into Trump's vote in the right places enough to win, or you can try to have an exciting candidate. Obama is one that'll bring out new voters.
How come we're hearing so little from Biden? Is that the strategy? Don't open your. It's just like it's your election to lose.
Yeah, when you're way ahead,
don't open your mouth and let everybody know how.
When you're way ahead, we don't know how good a candidate Biden is, Mike. I mean, you don't want another Mueller.
We knew how good a candidate 65-year-old Biden was. I'm not sure we know how good a candidate this guy is.
And given our age, we shouldn't say this, but I mean, you know, he is kind of long in the tooth. And is he going to be? Look, we have the most unscrupulous person as president of the United States, who's, I think, as far as I know, ever run for office in the United States. The most vicious, the most territorial, the most abusive. He has a genius for figuring out ways to try to hurt people. If you look at his dialogue about anybody who criticized him, it's now getting, I think people are getting sort of passe. He says it's like he always says, we're going to have a really beautiful plan. Well, what plan? You know, it's always going to be beautiful.
Elizabeth Warren has plans.
Yeah, right. But he doesn't
have plans. She has real plans.
Right. So, you know, I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm okay with Joe, obviously. Although my, once again, I can hear the heads exploding of my young friends. Because, you know, and I keep seeing all over, so, you know, vote blue no matter who. Vote blue no matter who. That's gonna be, you're gonna hear that mantra more and more from now until the election. And I hope it catches on, and I hope it becomes the... So in that vein...
There's two polls, Mike. One is to get the guy who has the best chance of being elected. That's who you support if you're a Democrat. The other is you pick the person who most represents your views.
Right.
There's two different ways of
looking at this thing. That's what I was trying to say. I was trying to say that about my political conversion in the last 2.5 years as the AOCs and the squad and Bernie Sanders and especially Elizabeth Warren. I mean, as far as a middle of the road candidate between, let's say, AOC and Joe Biden, then there's Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
so I have sent money to Elizabeth Warren.
That's trying to get us to look.
I don't part with that very easily.
Sorry. I'm trying to get us to look critically at the stuff. So when you see the analysis, though, the analysis will be, well, all the Democratic seats that flipped were in marginal or contested districts.
All right.
You know, AOC didn't flip a Democratic district. She defeated a Democratic incumbent.
Right.
Right. But that's a little bit biased because most of the seats in Congress stay in whatever party they're in, and only a few flip. So it is true there are a lot of suburban voters who are very unhappy with Trump and the Republican Party, and they elected a lot of Democrats this last time. That is true. But I think that you still have to keep an open mind because, you know, politics is really unpredictable. Who would have predicted that Barack Obama would go right
to
the
top? Well,
the
scales have been so tipped. Any Democrat, I'm talking about averages now, has to get 5 to 7% more. In other words, there's no longer, 50.1% of the votes. A Democrat to win, because of gerrymandering, has to get 55 or 57% of the vote to win. That's not a fair country.
No.
That's a broken USA.
Right. And that's what I said about the country needing fundamental change. The Electoral College has got to go. It does not make any sense. It just simply doesn't make any sense. Getting rid of it is going to be an absolute ordeal, and we need a huge majority of the country behind getting rid of it to get rid of it, but it makes no sense. And it's an anachronism. And Americans shouldn't be afraid to remove, as long as we maintain our Bill of Rights and civil liberties in our democratic institution, we're changing some of the structures that we got from 200 years ago. And the Electoral College goes back to a time when you couldn't exactly count ballots because it would take months anyway.
So what is the Trump strategy to win? What I'm hearing is they're calling Democrats haters. Okay, because if
Trump will always turn it back on you.
If I call Trump a racist, am I a hater?
Right. So that's what Trump wants to be. behave in the most despicable way politically you can imagine. And then when you call him on it, he's going to call you a hater. I mean, that's how the man functions. It's always turnabout. He's always going to throw back at you that you're haters. If he's extreme and, I don't know, dishonest, he's going to flip back on you, whatever you call him. And he has a certain number of catchphrases, and I don't have them in front of me tonight, Mike, or yeah. This afternoon.
Well, and Time Magazine says he's the real campaign manager. He's the real finance director. He's the real director of everything. He is the campaign. His campaign manager says his job is to build a team ready to deal with whatever whim Donald Trump happens. Now, he so believes in his political prowess, his political abilities, that he doesn't rely on anyone else. Now, we all know that he has swung and missed on several political things.
I think he listens to people sometimes, but when he has that visceral gut reaction, like by dividing the country and calling these people names, I can get votes. By working up white fears of changes in the demographics of the country, which have been occurring, folks, since day one, and also on day two and three. When he can do that, he knows to go for the jugular. He knows to go for the destructive. He knows to go for the lies. And that's his instinct. And since the grown-ups have left the administration, he's right. More and more in control. It's being ruled more and more by his instinct. His instinct is it doesn't matter how much damage it does the country to tell people who are American citizens who were born in the United States to go home, or that they should go to their countries, or refer to the countries that some people come from in negative light.
The news has been full of the moon thing for the last, so we actually got off of Trump for a little while, in some of the news anyway, because of the 50th anniversary of landing on the moon, which of course half Trump believers don't believe really happened.
Apparently, but it is a reminder, folks, of where the United States was a generation ago. It reminded how a good leader, instead of trying to divide the country, white against black, new arrivals against old arrivals. I mean, you know, in my kind of pretty much ethnic background, I mean, Trump family are new arrivals. They're recent immigrants compared to, you know, a lot of my family. There was a time when we had someone who tried to inspire the country rather than divide the country to have power. And someone who cared that it may have been silly to go to the moon, but it worked. And it inspired people and generated incredible technology.
You know what's silly is Trump thinking that he's going to get a Nobel Peace Prize because he's sucking up to dictators. But
well, there's a new one for sucking up to dictators, Mike. Nobel Prize.
Oh, I see.
No. Well, Trump told me. Yeah.
Okay then.
Or
yes.
I think you're right. I think he thinks there's one.
And every time I look at the picture of him and the prince, the Saudi prince, it kind of says it all. You got this grinning little boy standing next to this, at least the look on their faces, this conniving big man.
They criticized one of the Muslim women in Congress. I guess there's two of them. Ilan, what's her name? And
this is where
she said it was all about the Benjamins. But the interesting thing about Trump is when he meets with the Saudi prince, he says it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. We don't care if he murdered somebody, had him hacked to pieces in his embassy.
Yes.
All we care about is he's a good buyer of American products. And I mean, Trump is open about it. Everybody's evaluated in mercantile way, Mike.
What we've done here on this show today, on Democratic Perspective today, Mr. Williamson.
I think you've been too easy on him, Mike.
Well, I have been, only because I'm a little sensitive to the hater charge. But so what we have done is we've looked at the American electorate and decided that their ability to support somebody so unfit for office, so unfit for, as far as I'm concerned, for association with other civilized human beings, and that's Donald Trump. So we have a damaged country, not just a damaged political system. We have, so what, and I'm, you know, I'm going to the media here, the Sinclairs, the Fox News. There's another player now that are denying, they won't run Buttigieg's, they won't run a Democratic candidate's interviews because he's a Democrat, and I think they're using the excuse that he's gay. So you have this barrage of lies. The station that we're on here, you listen to it late at night, you get some really interesting politics here.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with anything real that you and I know.
Luckily, I can't keep my eyes open too late at night anymore.
Well, unfortunately, So we have so, and that's what I started saying this morning, so many voices. They're all so shrill. They're all yelling. And so we know it turns off our suburban friends. It turns off our young friends.
Look, I think we have to be honest. Affirmative action, if you were a white male of a certain age, people were at least told by people who probably were opposed to that they didn't get a job that had to be given to a minority woman in place of you. Hundreds of thousands of people were told that. People really became convinced that affirmative action, which solved a lot of the violence of the 60s, was not in their interest. And so many white, and the way they talk about white male privilege is just tends to totally alienate you if you're white and male. But there was such a thing as white male privilege.
Was?
Is. But it was much more, look, what I'm saying is, people actually felt, the guys I work with felt they lost something. They felt that people who were not qualified, and obviously, you know, if you're a white guy, somebody who's not a white guy is less qualified than you. But, I mean, they really believe that stuff.
But they lost nothing.
I know.
I see.
Okay. I know.
Yeah.
But if you're going to apply for a job, and I had a friend who went and applied for a job, University of California, they said you could transfer there.
Yeah.
The guy says to him, there's jobs
there.
We're not going to give them to you.
I don't want to hear racist anecdotes from my co-host on Democratic perspective.
They're not racist anecdotes. This is what people were told.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is to understand that people have fears that were created. And
well, what I want
fears
to put in the other corner is all the good things that happen.
Go ahead.
All of the positive things that happen by extending opportunities to people that would otherwise be denied by white privilege.
Not only good things, Mike. What's fair and what's just?
So
what's fair, what's fair and what's just?
Steve,
is it just to maintain some kind of racial or gender privilege, or is it not? It's not just, it's not fair, and it's fundamentally not American.
We're talking
not
about
the best
denying
part of America. Well,
so was denying an entire class or race of people an opportunity because of their race or class.
Right.
That's what we did.
That's
and
un-American.
And are still doing. We got 1 minute left. We want to ask questions. We've been talking for 43 minutes. We want to hear what people want us to talk about. I want to hear more about, we talked about the local Airbnb thing. We've got local candidates. We do a lot of interviews. I would like to know what people are interested in. Do we want to talk citywide, statewide, national? Region, we got water issues, we got climate change. There is so much going on at this critical point in history. How we decide what happens will decide the future. Please listen to our show. Please listen to our podcast on bbid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.